Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you think about and experience our world. If you're listening live today, it's April 20th, 2020, and I hope you are all doing well. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, The Course in Miracles is really helping me get through my days. Just being able to realign my mind, realign some of my thinking. These are really challenging times, and I am so thankful that I have A Course in Miracles, and I'm also very, very thankful for this particular show. It just keeps me on track, always coming up with ideas or, you know, focusing my attention on how to share this information with you. And that's what I really hope that it is just simply sharing this information with you, sharing this time with you. And if it does something to really bolster your life, if it does something to change your thinking, you know, change your perception, then I'm quite thrilled. But mostly, I just like spending this time with you together. And on today's show, we will be spending our time together with Bruce Rawls, who is a writer and web designer. He's been very instrumental, and he's one of the guys that's always working in the background on some of those sites that we talk about, including a foundation for acourseinmiracles.org. He, you know, does some web design for them. He does some web design for the Foundation for Inner Peace, which is the publisher of A Course. And, you know, so he does some interesting stuff. He's a student of A Course, an avid student. He's also a small group, or maybe large group, I should say, facilitator. He leads some talks and does that kind of stuff. And, of course, he's real big into the Zoom and all of the virtual classes and virtual ways that we can connect. And I so appreciate that. Hopefully some of his knowledge will literally rub off on me. And when I got together with Bruce and, you know, and asked him, what do you want to talk about? What are you thinking? He suggested that we look at Lesson 107. That's one of the lessons in the ACIM workbook for students. And this one is, truth will correct all errors in my mind. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you have A Course in Miracles, I would suggest that you go pull it off the shelf. Maybe you already have it, but go get it. And we are going to turn to Lesson 107. And before you do that, or while you're doing that, I would also invite you to join us in our private group over on Facebook. We do have a group that we use, a page that we use during our live shows here on 1-2 Radio. So if you've never been there before, that means you probably haven't listened to the show. So I just want to say thank you for finding us. Thanks for listening to 1-2 Radio and sharing this time with us. But if you haven't ever been there before and you'd like to, what you need to do is go over to our website. That's 1-2-radio.com. Look on the left side of the page. That's where you're going to see all the navigation. And when you press chat, that will automatically redirect you over to our private group over on Facebook. And our producer today is Scott Weaver, and he will be there, and he'll click the magic buttons and let you into the room. Or you can post comments or just say, hey, I'm here, you know, and say hi or ask questions or that sort of thing. So I would invite you to do that, and then let's just get started. Let's get Bruce on with us, and let's talk about the ACIM workbook lesson 107, Truth Will Correct All Errors in My Mind. Good morning, Bruce, and thank you so much for being with me today.
Hi, CA. Thanks for having me on your show. I always enjoy our conversations.
Yeah, me too. And also thank you for the suggestion of Lesson 107, because as the audience know, I have been really stuck on 109. So it was kind of nice to go back just a couple of lessons and see, you know, how they build one to the other. So it was really nice to go back and do this lesson. So thank you very much for that suggestion. And everybody, if you haven't already, pull out your Course in Miracles and go to the workbook for students. It's Lesson 107 that we're going to talk about. Truth will correct all errors in my mind. So thank you for the suggestion. And I know that you've been busy doing some presentations on this.
Well, yes. In fact, one this morning and one later after we're done recording this.
Okay.
and yeah, why not, you know, make it a blitz? And as we're all, you know, binge watching and listening things, I'm sort of binge sharing, I guess, what I'm finding helpful with the course. And since you mentioned the developmental aspect of the workbook lessons in particular, I thought I'd mention that I discovered while I was rereading Lesson 106 that he mentioned the word 100 is in there. And it's like, you know, these multipliers that he's using to try to give us a hint that you know, we're not only is our egos clueless, but what we really are is, you know, wonderful beyond any magnitude that we can imagine as little silly, seemingly separate selves. So in lesson 106, he uses the word hundred, and then in lesson 107, he says it multiplied 100 times and then be multiplied 100 more. So he's up in the ante from 100 to 1,000. So CA and I were joking before the recording that by the time you get to 109, he should be up to 1,000,000 if he's multiplying by 10 each time, right?
Yeah, if he's continuing to do that, that's right.
Anyway, I just really find this a truly deeply peaceful lesson. Just letting the peace that's behind the words kind of sink in. So how about if I just start reading the first paragraph? And then
I think that's a great idea.
Okay. So lesson 107 in the workbook of A Course in Miracles is truth will correct all errors in my mind. The first paragraph begins, what can correct illusions but the truth? And what are errors but illusions that remain unrecognized for what they are? Where truth is entered, errors disappear. They merely vanish, leaving not a trace by which to be remembered. They are gone because without belief, they have no life. And so they disappear to nothingness, returning whence they came. From dust to dust they come and go, for only truth remains. Wow, and when we think of, you know, the little things that we make such big deals about as blips on the cosmic radar, even in the dream of form, the dream of space and time, the dream of bodies, the dream of separate interests, if we can just kind of, you know, I think it's even helpful just to look at the things that used to be big deal issues in our lives. I can think of probably a couple in the last 5 or 6 weeks that are probably huge issues for most people on the planet. One starts with the letter C and ends in 19.
Yeah.
and the other probably the financial impacts of that and all the, you know, the societal, you know, ramifications of that. But, you know, this we're about a month and a half into this global pandemic. And if we think about the craziness of the current situation, if we step back and think about it, this is a crazy world and always has been. But if we can kind of keep things in perspective that we have an eternal being that is watching patiently, steadily, faithfully, at this whole spectacle and not taking it seriously, if we can remember to do that, we can be much more peaceful about what happens or seems to happen in the world, can't we?
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go ahead and read the second paragraph, which I love the way it starts. And once again, the audience is going to go, oh, there she is again talking about that. Not only is lesson 109 my favorite lesson, but one of the very favorite lines of the entire course for me is the beginning of chapter 15. And it says, can you imagine what it means to have no cares, no worries, no anxieties, and simply to be peaceful all the time?
Yes.
And
yes.
I remember the first time I read that, I went, oh my God, no, I can't imagine. but what was more palpable to me is how much I did want to imagine. Mm-hmm. So here it is. Here's that line very similarly in this mm-hmm. lesson. It says, can yep. you imagine what a state of mind without illusions is? How it would feel? Try to remember when there was a time, perhaps a minute, maybe even less, when nothing came to interrupt your peace, when you were certain you were loved and safe. Then try to picture what it would be like to have that moment be extended to the end of time and to eternity. Then let the sense of quiet that you felt be multiplied 100 times and then be multiplied another 100 more. Just like you were talking about, Bruce. But, you know, I love that. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
And those words to me are just so powerful. Can you imagine
yes.
what this would
exactly.
feel like? And, you know, I think it also drives home a point in A Course in Miracles that personally drives me crazy and probably drives a lot of other people crazy, which is, It's often like, I know you can't really understand this because this is a reflection of heaven. This is a reflection of God's love. You can't possibly really understand what it feels like. So when he says, but can you imagine? Then that kind of brings it back home, you know? I get it. He keeps telling me, you can't really get this with your mind, but can you imagine what a state of mind without illusions is? Mm-hmm. So that it feels like this incredibly gentle invitation. Can you imagine?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And it's the you is lowercase there. So kind of tying into what you're just sharing, the little y you is everyone's ego, which appears to be this silly, seemingly separate self. And from that perspective, no, we can't imagine that. But this course is always and only addressed to the mind, and particularly it's addressed to the decision-making faculty in the mind, which does always keep a little bit of a whisper that connects us to that truth that is the correction of the error, and that truth that is beyond that decision-making capability that we're always connected to through that little thread of light, that little glimmer of awareness, says, yeah, I can imagine that, because that is the real state of being that we all are and share, and that is what we ultimately will return to. And we know that on some level, we know that that's our real inheritance, that's our destiny, it's the innocence that we thought we lost, it's that peace that we thought we'd forsaken when we thought we smashed perfect oneness and threw God under the bus.
Right.
and everyone else with it, you know. But yeah, we've never left that. So the two thought systems, the two identities, really, that the ego can't imagine that kind of state of mind, but what we really are can't imagine anything except that state of mind. And that's why A Course in Miracles is such a, you know, a black and white curriculum, ultimately. It's very gentle, because that's where we think we are, and we you know, bite off as much as we can chew at any one time, but it eventually we'll reach the threshold where we decide in toto. and I actually put this on this graphic that I'm going to use this afternoon and use this morning in a study group. I've got the Wizard of Oz curtain, so to speak, covering up the setup. And the setup is the hidden cause of our projected unconscious, unfounded guilt. And the ego doesn't want us to look at that, because then we'd see game over. So what that does is that projects, but still it's still in our mind, but it hasn't really left its source. But it in our mind, we have this wheel of misfortune that has all of the stuff in the world that seems to be, you know, the problem, right?
I love that wheel of misfortune.
Well, that's the tip of the hat to Jeff Siebert and the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, and he came up with this graphic that's wonderful, and then Tim Wise and Lynn Corona have been using it in their classes lately, and just to illustrate how all the different things in the world, our finances, our health, our relationships with our body, our relationship with other bodies, our relationships with politics and with sports figures and holidays and, you know, anything, viruses, anything you can imagine that could be something that either has this euphoric impact that's a special love relationship or a special hate relationship that's the fear and loathing stuff that, you know, doesn't matter. As long as it gets us to identify with a separate self, its strategy its propaganda appears to have worked.
Yes. There we are. Yeah.
Exactly. It's magician's sleight of hand on the stage. But fortunately, we all have a little metaphoric dog that the Holy Spirit whispers, trust in Toto. Mm-hmm. And I looked up Toto in Wikipedia today, and it was kind of fun because I discovered not only is it Dorothy's dog in The Wizard of Oz that pulls back the curtain and revealing The Wizard of Oz, but there's also a musical group a few years ago, and they called themselves Toto. And in the Wikipedia page, which I didn't know before this today, that the musical group Toto, they chose not to name them the group, not because of The Wizard of Oz primarily, but more importantly, because it was the word Toto is Latin for all-encompassing.
Yes.
I thought, isn't that perfect? In Toto
yes.
means all-encompassing. So, and that that's, I mean, the very first page of A Course in Miracles, what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. That's the truth that we thought we'd forsaken. And Toto says, I'm the awareness you took with you into the dream. I'm going to pull back this curtain. I'm going to show you how silly. It's not evil, sinful, or wicked, like Ken Wapnick keeps reminding us. It's not anything to get upset about, nothing to get hung about, as the Beatles would say. But it's just silly, because what's all-encompassing is behind that curtain and ready for you to see what's there. And then we see the setup, and then we choose against the ego, because why would we intentionally be masochists? Why would we do that to ourselves, even if we think, you know, we're off the hook by projecting it onto the rest of the world, including all of our grievances that, you know, I'm upset, but it's not my fault because everyone else in the world is doing this to me. So that's the upset. That's the misinterpreted, distorted, filtered illusion that we assign with grievances, that the ego says it's out there in the world. But the Holy Spirit says, no, wait a minute, look at this with me, without condemnation. Just let's look at this together and see that the upset is really a setup. And that's now we reverse cause and effect back to their true rightful position. And the cause is now back in the mind and not in the world. And once it's back in the mind, then we're free to make a different choice. But as long as the locus of control is in the world, we're at the mercy of the ego instead of being merciful from the Holy Spirit's perspective. Right.
Yeah.
So should I read the next paragraph?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. And now you have a hint, not more than just the faintest intimation of the state your mind will rest in when the truth has come. Without illusions, there could be no fear, no doubt, and no attack. When truth has come, all pain is over, for there is no room for transitory thoughts and dead ideas to linger in your mind. Truth occupies your mind completely, liberating you from all beliefs in the ephemeral. They have no place because the truth has come, and they are nowhere. They cannot be found, for truth is everywhere, forever, now.
Nice. You ought to be a narrator.
Well, I sort of was.
Yeah, you are. Sorry, I didn't mean that to be an insult. I meant you're really doing a great job reading it today.
We're all narrators of one thought system or another. You know, the running commentary, it's either the ego's drivel or the Holy Spirit's sanity, right? Mm-hmm. And 24/7, we're our inner dialogue is always narrating one of those two thought systems, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny, depending on the time and when reading this, I really notice that line. When the truth has come, all pain is over, for there is no room for transitory thoughts and dead ideas to linger in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I swear I never even saw that line before.
Yeah. Oh, so many times that, you know, you read it and it's like, well, that's because, you know, again, as our beloved teacher Ken Wapnick points out to us, our resistance to this course is enormous.
Oh, yeah.
So just like the ocean, you know, you lift a boat out of the ocean and the area occupied by the boat doesn't even have a chance to say, hey, let's hold the space of air, you know, for a few more seconds before the water rushes in. No, it's immediate, you know, it's instantaneous. So the ego closes in to fill the gap left by the Holy Spirit, because it's a binary switch. You know, we're either choosing peace or fear. You know, we're either choosing love or misunderstanding at any given moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've been really enjoying, in fact, last week's show, what we did is we started listening to a workshop by Ken called The Experience of A Course in Miracles. And it's where he's focusing on the manual for teachers, the development of trust.
Uh-huh.
The whole workshop, that's what it's about. But the whole first section that we listened to is all about, apparently at the time that Ken did the workshop, he was also writing a book on Freud. So he's talking about the whole thing of resistance. He talks a lot about resistance and what it means in terms of the psychoanalytical process, but just what it means to us, you know, and just huge investment in resisting listening to it, resisting the truth, resisting what all of it means. So, and you know, just to recognize that that's so important, because I mean, I get that in myself. I don't want to believe that.
Right.
I don't want to believe that I resist it. I don't want to believe that. And even my not wanting to believe it is resisting.
And the Holy Spirit gently says, trust in Toto.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And not to worry. I'm patient because I have all the time in the world, in fact, beyond the world, because I know you're already home. You're just dreaming of exile here.
Yep. This is just a dream.
Yep.
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 Okay. Should I read the next one?
Sure, please do.
Okay, and I want to make sure I'm in the right place. Yep. When truth has come, it does not stay for... Sorry about that. When truth has come, it does not stay a while to disappear or change to something else. It does not shift and alter in its form, nor come and go and come again. It stays exactly as it always was, to be depended on in every need and trusted with a perfect trust in all the seeming difficulties and the doubts that the appearances the world presents engender. They will merely blow away when truth corrects the errors in your mind. And I really appreciate that because I recognize how often I still grasp onto things in the world that are form, believing that it's truth.
Right, right.
And truth doesn't have form.
No, not a bit.
So it's not going to morph from one thing. Well, and I mean, think about, at least in my world, we throw around that word all the time, truth. That's truth, that's not truth. Fake news, real news. Fake truth, real truth. I mean, we throw that around all the time, but we also act as if it can really change.
Exactly. Yeah, and that unchangeable nature is really what got me into what's now become sacred geometry, or called that, which is like, you know, what, and mathematics in general, because it's like, well, what doesn't change? What within, even within the world seems to be fairly steady, you know, what's the song lyrics, you know, something may tumble, Gibraltar may crumble or something. It's just a
but
world.
But our love will always stay. Yes,
that's,
I know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that, you know, I think all of us really want something that we can really invest in that doesn't change. And that's, I think anyone that's honest with themselves would have to admit that if something changes, bodies come and go. They're transitory. While I was preparing for this, talking about this workbook lesson, I was reminded of a friend of mine who's a great host when I'm staying in Southern Oregon, as well as a dear friend and fellow course student. He used to recite this from memory at some of our course meetings in Southern Oregon, Ashland. This is Sonnet 116 from Shakespeare. It's very short. Can I mind if I read that?
Oh, yeah. Please.
It fits perfectly with this workbook lesson. So Shakespeare's Sonnet 116 goes, let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark, whose worth's unknown, although his height be taken. Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come. Love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out even to the edge of doom. If this be error and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved. Anyway.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to explain it to me.
Well, there's an analysis that in this webpage that I found this on, that basically one of the words I had to look up was bark, which is a boat.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Star to every wandering bark, that's kind of like Ken's use of the lighthouse as a symbol for the Foundation of Course in Miracles. Because the star that is fixed and doesn't move depending on where the boats might be, that's our guide home, that fixed light that keeps shining no matter what. And love doesn't change. Love doesn't alter when it finds alteration. It doesn't admit impediments. And he starts off with, you know, don't let me admit impediments to the marriage of true minds. Well, it's not talking about bodies. It's not talking about form. And in the course's jargon, it would suggest that everyone is married in truth to the perfect oneness that we never left. So, I mean, how could perfect oneness even have parts, let alone have them discombobulated, you know, and disconnected? It doesn't happen. So we're actually living in an era where we are given an opportunity to look at the contrast between form, which seems to be showing even more evidence of isolation and separation with, you know, social distancing and the 6-foot rule and you know, the quarantine practices. That would seem to be going backwards. But in truth, if form and space and time are constructs of the mind, we don't really have to be too concerned with, other than at least in terms of the course's ideas of how to navigate through it, is to remember that in truth, you and I and every being, not only on this planet but throughout the cosmos, has one awareness that's unshakable, inseparable, infinitely married eternally, and joined at oneness, joined as one, as the course puts it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So and there's the truth. That's the peace and the serenity and the certainty that we think we've lost, but we couldn't have possibly lost it.
Right. Well, and you know, from the very beginning, I was intrigued that they called it social isolation instead of physical.
Exactly.
Because I thought, you don't have to be socially isolated. You have to be physically isolated. Those
exactly.
are two different concepts. And if anything, I feel like for me personally, I haven't heard from my brothers and sisters as much as, you know, I have in the last 3 weeks, like in the last 10 years. And I mean, I'm actually pretty close to my brothers and sisters, but it's not like we talk or text every day. And now we do.
Yes.
And so I feel like I don't feel socially isolated.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's a great reminder that it's, you know, what appears to be a crisis can be an opportunity. And we were talking about before the recording that I've been availing myself of some really wonderful online classes from Tim Wise and Lynn Corona of the School for A Course in Miracles. And you can go to their website. It's SFACIM for schoolforacourseinmiracles.org. And just use the contact form there and just say, hey, I'd like to just say, Bruce recommended your classes and sign me up for the email list. And then you can join in. They have classes daily on A Course in Miracles with the emphasis on the teachings of Ken Wapnick, who they both have studied for decades and really know Ken's work inside and out. So anyway, if anybody has the least interest, I highly recommend those online daily classes. So.
Okay. And they can join those through Zoom?
It's a Zoom class. Uh-huh.
It's a Zoom class. And is there a charge?
No.
Okay.
No. They have a donation button at the bottom of their page, but they don't turn anyone away for lack of funds. So
okay. Well, I just wanted to be clear.
They're very key about that. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So it is a class, and they do prepare material, and they put a lot into it, and it shows, because the quality of what they share is just wonderful. I also put on ACIMblog.com every month. I put the videos that they put on their YouTube channel and put them in a little quick summary. So, for example, I just put up the March 2020 SFACIM YouTube classes, and
uh-huh.
you can watch those, and you can, if you want to binge watch something, I recommend that.
Yeah, because there really are a lot of videos. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and Tim in particular has a really great knack for taking a theme and finding all the places in the course that have that theme, and then talking about the developmental nature of the workbook as we're going through it, and the text, and really tying it all together in really insightful ways. And Lynn, equally, you know, from an equally you know, diligent multi-decade study of the course, really has some wonderful insights, and she complements what Tim shares very nicely. And then everybody who chimes in too usually has something really helpful to share, and it's a lot of fun. So highly recommend it.
Yeah, yeah. And you said about 2 dozen people are doing that.
About that every day, yeah.
Nice. Huh? Well, thank you for throwing that in. Okay, so do you want to read the next paragraph?
Sure. When truth is come, it harbors in its wings the gift of perfect constancy and love, which does not falter in the face of pain, but looks beyond it, steadily and sure. Here is the gift of healing, for the truth needs no defense, and therefore no attack is possible. Illusions can be brought to truth to be corrected, but the truth stands far beyond illusions and cannot be brought to them to turn them into truth.
Boy, and once again, a pillar of A Course in Miracles, that little gem right there that mm-hmm. took me a lot of time to understand what's the difference between saying bringing illusions to truth or bringing truth to illusions.
Right. Yes.
And,
yeah, me too.
And because the way of the world is we want, I mean, and we, I think we even think of it, you know, we're carrying a light of some sort and we're, hey, come over here, look at this, and bring the flashlight, bring the light to the darkness. And that's not the way it works. It says, bring your darkness, bring your illusions, bring it to the truth. You know, because the whole concept of bringing the flashlight or bringing the light to the illusion is still reinforcing that the illusion is real.
Right, right.
You know, I got to fix this in the world. I've got to change this in the world. I've got to fix this in the world. And, you know, that seems like a very small thing, but just that difference, that shift of thinking is huge.
It is. I think it's what separates, you know, one of the pitfalls of I mean, I certainly have done my share of New Age stuff over the years, but, you know, it was about a dozen years ago when I found Ken's work again after somewhat of a hiatus. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. And then, you know, you realize that if I'm trying to fix the dream, if I've got my, you know, recovering dream repair technician hat on, and really identified with that, then I'm going to be, you know, betting on the wrong dead horse again, you know, and trying to make something that is never going to work. I mean, there are times when, you know, the ego's propaganda and its strategy is, oh, well, let's make it seem to work for a while, but then it somehow goes sour, and then we back where we started. So, you know, there's always this sense of hope in the world, but it's not the world that does it. Even when we seem to be having a great day, it's not because the ego has delivered happiness to us. It's always because we've chosen the teacher of peace and we're peaceful in spite of what's happening or not happening in the world. And it's really independent. It's an independent axis, if we're going to get mathematical again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to grasp that. In fact, I was just talking to somebody the other day, a course student, and she happened to make the comment, well, I need to heal this because, you know, this is my dream, so I need to heal it. And I said, no, actually you don't. You need to heal your mind. You don't need to heal the dream. And she goes, but it says it's my dream. And so if it's my dream, I need to fix it. And I go, you know, and I was kind of at a loss for words because I thought I also didn't want to charge in and say, I know the curriculum better than you. But I said, not really. Don't you see, the minute we keep thinking that we have to fix the dream, we have to fix the world, then our attention, once again, the, you know, what do they call it? The double shield of oblivion. The world keeps distracting us, going, fix this, look over here, fix this. And not that we should not eat or sleep or do what we can to keep ourselves healthy. It's not that we don't do that. But the minute we get all caught up in, oh, well, the Course says this is a dream and I want to create a different dream, if that becomes our intention, you know, the ego's really working nicely then. It's got us. It's got us hooked.
As long as we think that there's something out there that we can fix, and we're ignoring the promptings of that inner kindness teacher that says, pull back the curtain, Toto.
Pull back the curtain.
Because that curtain is really the shield of oblivion, and that's the silliness that suggests that what's never worked will somehow work. Just like, you know, Charlie Brown and the football that Lucy pulls away every year just to see if he'll go for it, and he always seems to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we all do. So we need to be really gentle and patient with ourselves when we, you know, kind of go through our little ego bucket list of things that we think are going to make us happy in the world. And one by one, you know, we can generalize, though. We can shorten the list dramatically by looking at that bucket list of ego propaganda stuff and say, hey, you know what? Items 17 through 512 are pretty much the same thing when I really look at them carefully. Maybe I could check those off the list all in one swell foop here. And you, whoosh, oh, well, that got me down to number 542 or whatever, you know. And so, you know, we can, and the Course says, you know, we can save lifetimes by by you know learning to generalize and by looking at our grievances and seeing how ego misinterprets, distorts, and filters all the illusory feedback and makes it seem like a cause when it's really not, and you know the truth will correct all those errors in our mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and something I was reading the other day, I think it was in the chapter 30 or 31, where they're talking about the rules for decision. Mm-hmm. And talking about the idols. And idols are also one of those words that or concepts that for a long time, it took me a while to really get it. But just the idea that anything becomes an idol, anything that you you need to make mm-hmm. yourself happy, you know, whether it's a relationship or it's a kind of food or it's a home or whatever it is, you know, I just need this to happen today. And that becomes your idol. And there's a part of me that sometimes I just keep, you know, having this sense of, you know, when you talk about a gentle, you know, inner kindness teacher, that's it. Somebody just kind of smiling like, oops, you forgot. You thought that idol was going to make you happy, you know,
exactly.
And not in a malicious way, but oops, yep, you forgot that again. And in fact, I was working with somebody the other day and we were doing some tarot and she was talking about one of the cards in tarot is a Five of Cups. And in a lot of decks, it's actually called disappointment. And she said, I hate this card. And I said, it's one of my favorites. And I said, because the fives, which in the tarot are all, you know, some people call them opportunity cards, which I would too, but they're relatively negative. And I said, but I'm convinced if you can master the fives, then you don't have to be afraid of anything because the Five of Cups is disappointment. And once again, it's like I almost smile when I hear it because that it has been one of my favorite cards, I guess, because I pull it a lot. I pull that card more than any other card, or at least I used to. So it kind of became my card. And I recognize that even though I've been doing tarot a lot longer than I've been doing the course, it really was a lead up to that. Because once again, it was that inner kindness teacher going, oops, you thought something in the world was going to really make you happy, didn't you? Disappointment, you know. And so I just, now, I'm not saying I embrace disappointment, but I just kind of have to smile because the world, it is like the ego, like you said before, it just pulls a rug out from underneath you.
It's a setup.
Yeah. It is. It's a total setup.
We forget the setup because it's behind the curtain that Toto needs to pull back. And once we do, then we see the upset was caused by the setup because we've reversed cause and effect once again.
Yes.
And it's just silly. It's just silly.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I see disappointment, to me, like I said, there's almost like this little joke behind it. Like, oops, you know, you fell for it again. You thought this was gonna do it. This was the be all end all. You forgot. And so I really am convinced. I mean, you know, if you can master those kinds of things, if you can just smile and laugh and, as you say, connect with that inner kindness teacher that goes, yeah, you kind of fell for an idol all over again, you know?
Exactly. And the ego's panaceas are ever shifting, ever changing, unsteady, unsure, and uncertain. But we keep buying a different form because it looks different now, you know?
Right.
But it's the same hoax.
Yes.
When you mentioned disappointment, I couldn't help but thinking that not only did the Beatles share some truth, but another foursome mophead from England, the Monkees, may have channeled some great wisdom when one of their lyrics was "Disappointed, disappointment haunted all my dreams."
Oh yes, I remember that.
I'm a Believer song. Remember that?
Oh
one?
Yeah.
I'm a Believer. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Anyway, that just lyric came to my mind. It's like, well, wow, that's what the ego is all about. It's a disappointment that haunts our dreams. And unfortunately, they're just dreams. If they were the real thing, you know, if this were the real world, God would be cruel. But they're dreams, you know, not to worry.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. If that was real, then God would be cruel.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. And so, yeah, we can laugh at it. Truth is real. So the next paragraph, it starts, truth does not come and go nor shift. Or is that what you, okay. Truth does not come and go nor shift nor change. In this appearance now and then in that, evading capture, don't you love that? Evading capture and escaping grasp. It does not hide. It stands in open light, in obvious accessibility. It is impossible that anyone could seek it truly and would not succeed. Today belongs to truth. Give truth its due, and it will give you yours. You were not meant to suffer and to die. Your Father wills these dreams be gone. Let truth correct them all.
Bingo. Yeah, yeah, I mean, and then if we can notice how our ego thoughts are like little cockroaches scurrying when the light comes on. You know, I mean, and they're kind of ashamed of their existence, just as we're ashamed of our, we think we're the home of evil, darkness, and sin, and but we hide it pretty well as people. But if we ask, if we really ask that inner kindness teacher, you know, what the ego's assessment of us really is, it's pretty pathetic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nothing wrong with having a, you know, a self-esteem enough to where you can, you know, function in the world to a certain level. But at some point you got to ask yourself, yeah, and what now? And then what's this leading up to? Mm-hmm. And then when the answer comes in, it's like, it's not so great the outcome of this, an ego. Then we say, well, there must be a better way. And then the other way, you know, we have to trust in Toto and really give our willingness to consider that the all-encompassing self, capital S self, that we never left, does have the answer. And that's AKA Holy Spirit. And that guidance will get us through whatever seems to be happening.
Yes.
Not happen.
Yes. Ah!
Yep. Okay.
All right. You want to make the next one?
Sure. We do not ask for what we do not have. We merely ask for what belongs to us, that we may recognize it as our own. Today we practice on the happy note of certainty that has been born of truth. The shaky and unsteady footsteps of illusions are not our approach today. We are as certain of success as we are sure we live and hope and breathe and think. We do not doubt we walk with truth today and count on it to enter into all the exercises that we do this day. So,
yeah,
we got coverage here. We got 24/7 coverage from the Holy Spirit.
And you know, I'm recognizing how many real truths or how, you know, what I'm calling pillars of A Course in Miracles are in this one lesson, because that first line, we do not ask for what we do not have. And the idea that you already have everything that you could possibly need. You are complete. Yeah. You are whole. As a divine being, you're not lacking anything. And we're always thinking that we have to make up, that we have to become something in order to become enlightened, to become deserving. And it's like, you don't ask for anything that you don't already have.
Exactly. And you can't teach anyone anything they don't already know, and we don't have to earn or learn anything.
Right.
It's already given, birthright, done deal, fait accompli, whatever other phrase you want to throw at it that suggests that there's nothing needed. We've met the prerequisite just by being, not our physical existence, but our true existence as the one Son of God, which appears to be taking many forms, only in a dream.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think we have time for at least another paragraph or two. Begin by asking him who goes with you upon this undertaking that he be in your awareness as you go with him. And those are all capital H's there. You are not made of flesh and blood and bone, but were created by the self same thought which gave the gift of life to him as well. He is your brother. And so like to you, your Father knows that you, capital Y, are both the same. It is yourself, capital S, you ask to go with you. And how could he be absent where you are? Mm-hmm. Nice.
Because we're congruent is the word that comes to mind.
Uh-huh.
Holy Spirit and everyone's right mind, and you and I and every being that has ever lived or ever will live, not in form but in eternity, are completely congruent. I remember that was the word in I think I was learning geometry class, and it was like, you know, they're identical in every respect, even though they may appear to have manifestations that are in different places, but it's the same idea, the same thought, the same essence, the same truth. And that's the truth that we can't destroy or delete. I think this is a very Platonic lesson. You know, Ken talks about how Helen was inspired by Shakespeare and Plato and several other people, Freud certainly. But, you know, the Platonic idea is that ideas are primary, and the expressions of those ideas, you know, are ephemeral and transitory and come and go. But we're all an idea of this perfect creation. And yet that's not how we usually think of ourselves. But this course asks us to, you know, just be willing to consider the idea that maybe the peace that we're all looking for comes from recognizing that we are that one idea. That mm-hmm. one thought of the mind of God.
And ideas leave not their source.
Exactly. Exactly. Perfect compliment. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, he doesn't say that in here, but pretty darn close, doesn't he? Yeah. All right. Well, I'm realizing that we're getting pretty close to the end of the show. So I'm debating, okay. Do you want to read a little bit more of the lesson? There's a few more paragraphs, or do you, especially because you're teaching on these and you're speaking on these, do you want to do like a little summary or your takeaway lesson?
Just real quickly, how about if I just kind of a quick summary and then I'll read the ninth paragraph?
Uh-huh.
Because I think it really is just a matter of remembering that we all are that, in truth, that unshakable, unchangeable self. And anything less than that is never going to satisfy us. So here's the ninth paragraph. Truth will correct all errors in your mind which tell you you could be apart from him. You speak to him today and make your pledge to let his function be fulfilled through you. To share his function is to share his joy. His confidence is with you as you say, truth will correct all errors in my mind, and I will rest in him who is myself. Then let him lead you gently to the truth, which will envelop you and give you peace so deep and tranquil that you will return to the familiar world reluctantly.
Wow. Rest in God. I mm-hmm. rest in him. I rest in God. You can see the lead up to lesson 109.
Mm-hmm.
Got to put a plug in for it.
Yeah, it's a great one.
People are going to get sick of that one. Okay, so do you have any other announcements? You told us about, would you repeat that website again about the School for A Course in Miracles?
SFACIM? .org, uh-huh, yes.
Okay.
That's the School for A Course in Miracles .org. Either one works. Pretty much a repeat of what we're recording right now. So you might actually find that by the time this is out on your 1-2 Radio website. I can send people to the link for the YouTube channel for School for A Course in Miracles, which you can just search on the YouTube channel for School for A Course in Miracles, and you'll find it there. And it's also on acimblog.com, monthly summaries of all the YouTube classes that they do.
Okay, so what you're saying is they do a daily Zoom talk or whatever you want to call it, Zoom meeting that you can join. But you're saying there's also a YouTube channel in which they can find old things and just kind of watch them and listen.
Exactly. There's plenty to binge watch on their YouTube channel.
Okay.
Several years worth. Highly recommended. Yeah. Thank you so much, CA. Always a pleasure.
Great. So any other announcement that you want to make?
There's the sister organization to facim.org, which is the two main sites I normally recommend, is FIP, which is acim.org, the Foundation for Inner Peace, I should say. And they are having another webinar, also highly recommended. That's going to be on the 23rd. Thursday, 2:00, it's Q&As, listening and guidance with Dr. Bob Rosenthal, Tam Morgan, and Judy Scott-Switson, the two co-presidents and the founder of the Foundation for Inner Peace, the original publisher of A Course in Miracles. So all about listening to guidance and a lot of questions and answers that have come in and they'll be responding to. So also highly recommended.
Okay. And they can always find you at www.acimblog.com. Correct.
Yep.
Okay, so anything else?
There's plenty on that website if you have any interests in you know, sending me your feedback, I always appreciate that, and donations appreciated, and it's a fun labor of love, so I have fun sharing what I find useful, primarily Ken Wapnick related material that's from A Course in Miracles that I find really helpful. So including so much of what you share, CA.
Yes, I know. But thank you so much for doing that. So, okay, I guess we'll leave it at that. I want to say thanks to all the listeners and everybody who joined us in the chat room. Thanks to Scott Weaver, our producer today. And I hope you'll stay tuned, because up next is Kathleen Peterson and Friends. So until next week, I hope that you will relax and wear loose clothes, stay informed, stay safe, and spread hope. You have been listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks and my guest, Bruce Rawls, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about life and spirituality. Call it Sanctuary. 8 hours Monday through Friday when we significantly drop our prices on 1-2listen.com. There's a 4-hour block in the morning, 5 to 9 Pacific time, and again in the evening from 5 to 9. We know this is a difficult and challenging time for everyone, and when you want to reach out for support, advice, or guidance, or maybe a message from your guide or angel, or a suggestion for how to approach something in your life, it's nice to catch a break. Of course, advisors on 1-2listen.com are available 24/7, but you'll find many of us available during these sanctuary hours. Please feel free to reach out to me or any of us through the message system on 1-2listen.com and request a schedule call at a time that's good for you. And we continue to offer a variety of time-based sessions that you can purchase anytime and then use when it's convenient for you. This is C.A. Brooks reminding you about Sanctuary. Reduce prices on 1-2listen.com Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m. and 5 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. In the meantime, stay informed, stay safe, and spread hope. It's contagious.
Hello, my name is Caroline. I'm an angel intuitive and a health intuitive. And I've been working with people to help them release the issues that are making them ill since 2005. I find that often people are unaware of why they are ill. Since I've been working on 1-2listen, I've had clients call and ask me about their health issues, which of course I'm happy to help them with. But if you're interested in removing these blocks, then you are welcome to look at my email-based healing sessions, and this is where the real changes can be made. I'm not a doctor, nor am I qualified to diagnose or discuss your medicines, but I can help to alleviate some of the symptoms by helping your body to recalibrate or realign and work out for itself how to heal. I can work on individuals, on families, on groups of people, on businesses, and on animals. If you're wondering why you are not feeling 100% or you're stuck in a pattern and do not seem to be able to move forward, can I suggest that you take a look at what I'm offering and let's find a way to help you move forward together. Look for Caroline N on 1-2listen.com, and I very much look forward to working with you and helping you to move forward.
When you call an advisor on 1-2listen, you find the best psychic advisors, mediums, and sage advice on the planet. My name is Kay Dragon, and I'm proud to say that I have been with this group for 10 years. I'm here to support you, intuit, and give you the information that your higher self and guide so lovingly wants to share with you. So give me a call or a chat. I'm here for you. And thank you for listening to 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way that you listen to the world.
Are you feeling the urge to learn something new? The classes on 1-2 Academy are just the thing to expand your mind and make your heart sing. Check out what's available and pick one to try. You take them over the phone, so it's easy as pie. The classes are all recorded, so don't worry about timing. Too bad there's not one that teaches rhyming. onetwoacademy.com. Learn something new and have some fun.
Fur baby, animal companion, pet, best friend, little no matter what you call them, you can't imagine life without them. This is Katie Weaver, and I'm an animal communicator over at onetwolisten.com. Give me a call whenever you're... need a little extra help.